Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast. You've got your daily Bible reading for April 16th, 2019. It's a Tuesday of Holy Week, looking at Acts chapter 17, the first half, beginning in verse 1. When Paul and Silas had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom, Paul went to the Jews, and on three Sabbath days he led them in a discussion from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. He also said, "This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ." Some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great number of God-fearing Greeks and more than a few prominent women. But the Jews became jealous and gathered from the marketplace some wicked men who formed a mob and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house and searched for Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the mob. When they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have stirred up trouble all over the world have come here too, and Jason has welcomed them as guests. They are all acting contrary to Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, Jesus." The crowd and the city officials were stirred up when they heard these things. They took a security bond from Jason and the others, and then let them go. That same night the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now the Bereans were more noble-minded than the Thessalonians. They received the word very eagerly, and examined the Scriptures every day to see if these things were so. Many of them believed, along with more than a few prominent Greek women and men. But when the Jews in Thessalonica learned that the word of God was being proclaimed by Paul in Berea, they also went there to agitate and stir up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul away to the seacoast, but Silas and Timothy stayed there. Those who escorted Paul brought him all the way to Athens. When they left, they received instructions for Silas and Timothy to join Paul as soon as possible. This is the word of our God. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul begins by talking about preaching Christ crucified, which is a stumbling block to the Jew and a stumbling block to the Gentile, or rather even foolishness to the Gentile. And here, in his second missionary journey, that's still the case. Everywhere he goes, he's encountering opposition. And notice the heart and core of his preaching. Verse 3, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. He also said, "This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ." And so he goes, obviously, first to the synagogue to speak to these Jewish believers and to reason with them and to preach for them from the Old Testament Scriptures. And he speaks with them 3 weeks running, three Sabbath days in a row. And he goes there, and he preaches there until they kick him out. And in Thessalonica, he's down the road a little bit from Philippi, but he basically follows the main little highway there in Macedonia from Philippi, goes through Amphipolis, Apollonia to get out of the region or the district of Philippi, gets to Thessalonica. But it's, you know, just the third or fourth city down the interstate, really. He goes and he's talking with them there until verse 5. The Jews became jealous and gathered from the marketplace some wicked men who formed a mob and started a riot. And they maybe had the intent to drag Paul out and have him either be hustled out of town or even die in the riot. Riots don't typically have good intent for those that they're angry with. But when they don't find Paul, they go to Jason's house and bring him out. Verse 9, eventually, after trotting up the same accusation they had against Jesus, they are all acting contrary to Caesar's decrees, saying that there's another king, this king called Jesus. And Jason is forced to post bond, and then they let them go. And so Paul has to get out of town now. And that same night, verse 10, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. When they arrive, they continue with the same format. They go to the synagogue, and what a beautiful verse. Verse 11, "Now the Bereans were more noble-minded than the Thessalonians. They received the word very eagerly and examined the Scriptures every day to see if these things were so. They examined the scriptures every day to see if these things were so. They sat there in church with a legal pad or just a pen and the bulletin, jotting down what Paul had said, and said, well, I should look this up for myself when I get home. I should check out what my Bible says about this so I can read it over in context, so I can consider what Paul is saying for myself. And is this something that is correct or not? Verse 12, many of them believed, along with more than a few prominent Greek women and men. And that example of the Bereans is one that is definitely worthy of imitation. I'm reading a book right now that talks about, you know, how does a Lutheran church become and remain spiritually strong, built on the rock, so to speak. I think that's actually the name of the church, of the book. And the author's main point, his main thesis point, early in the book is, number one, your people need to know their Bibles. They need to be able to read and open up the Bible and find the books of the Bible without using the table of contents. And then in discussion and in meetings, they can talk about different applications or different verses from the Bible, because sometimes we fall prey, and maybe this is a straw man argument, maybe not, you can judge for yourself, but perhaps do we fall prey to the idea that the pastor is the only one who really needs to know his Bible because he's the professional, and then I want to join him in church and I'll hear what he has to say and I'll learn from him there. But that's not the case. Because you're a Christian, and as a Christian, Jesus has entrusted the keys of the church to you, which is the ability and the authority to declare someone's sin is forgiven or not forgiven. And that's basically the second point of this guy's book, is that healthy churches that are built, that are strongly built upon the rock of Jesus, healthy churches have people who are humble, who confess their sin to one another, and who forgive each other. And that's a practice that does take practice, and it has to be developed over time. And as people go through life together, as they work together, as we worship together, there will always be reasons that one person offends another person, or things that we do, things that we say. And it's that humble confession of, I'm sorry I said that. That was wrong of me. And the response of not shrugging it off like it's no big deal, or saying, well, that's okay, don't worry about it. But the response of the Christian, the uniquely Christian response that says, you are forgiven. I forgive you. That's the authority that Jesus has given to you, his church. Verse 11. Now the Bereans were more noble-minded than the Thessalonians. They received the word very eagerly and examined the scripture every day to see if these things were so. And so how does one become acquainted with the word of God? How does one have a broader and wider and deeper knowledge of the word of God? Well, Bible class, definitely. Tuning into the podcast, certainly. Where we're going through this New Testament right now, we're going through the book of Acts and then Paul's letters as they come up. And that helps. That certainly helps. But one of the other ways, the best way that I've found, is just to read the Bible. If you check the show notes today, you'll see a link to, I think it's called, the Grant Horner's Bible Reading Plan. And what he does is he basically writes up a sheet, or he makes the sheet that's like the second or third page of the PDF. And that sheet is basically 10 bookmarks. And he's got 10 different lists of Bible reading, like a list from the Gospels, from the Pentateuch, from the first set of epistles, from the second set of epistles, history and Psalms and Proverbs, so that you read like 10 verses of, or 10 chapters of your Bible a day. And his goal, when he talks about it, is to get through as much as possible. And it's kind of that high volume amount of reading. If you read through 10 chapters a day, you get through the entire Bible on average about 2.5 times every year. However, you know, one of the lists, like the major prophets or the minor prophets, you probably only get through that list once or twice. But it helps to prioritize prioritize your Bible reading around the Gospels and the Epistles and then some of the Old Testament Jewish history. And so the question, do the Bereans put us to shame, or do the Thessalonians look a little too familiar? The Thessalonians who were whipped into a fervor because they cared more about their own opinions than about the Word of God, or the Bereans who cared so much for their own souls that they went back to the Word of God and eagerly examined the Scriptures every day. So as you go about your day, thank God. Thank God for giving you His Word, that you know the truth. And thank God for providing fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage you in that truth. And thank God and pray that we don't take this word for granted, but rather that we study them diligently and that we work together to see where Jesus has forgiven sins for each one of us, that you also have a place in this building of God's church, that you are a brick in God's church, and that He wants to make sure that you are strong and firm in this building. So you can find us Thursday evening and Friday evening at 7 p.m., 2250 South Holland Savannah Road in Maumee. Easter Sunday coming up this Sunday. We have 8:30 Easter breakfast, 9:15 an egg hunt for the kids, and 10 a.m. worship service. God bless your day.